Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Ask Marco, the only show on YouTube in which I ask Marco questions. Marco, that's Marco Martinez. I'm Grant Cohn. Marco, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I have a six pack of questions for you on this, what is this, Thursday in April. That's where we are, in California, in America. And the title of the show is which player should the Niners trade this offseason? Because I always like chaos. They got to trade someone. Someone has to get kicked off the island. But we're going to start first with other teams. Because Marco isn't just a Niners guy. He knows the league. Marco, who's the biggest threat to the Niners in the NFC?
I mean, when you look at the NFC, you got to go Detroit Lions. They've gotten better. They gave the Niners a run for their money last year. They probably should have won that game if we're being 100% honest. I'm probably going to go Lions. But like when you look at it, the NFC is kind of wide open still. Like there's no elite quarterback in the NFC, if we're being honest. There's no team that is dominant. You can say the Niners are dominant. That's fine. Like I know a lot of people are like, oh, we dominate the NFC. I mean, we do, but we also don't in a way because we let teams hang around in the playoffs. So it's,
yep.
I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Like I would probably say Detroit, though.
You mentioned that Detroit should have won that game. I mean, if they had converted one of those fourth downs, it might have been a different story. And one of the fourth downs was just a drop from Josh Reynolds. So, yeah, I guess have a better wide receiver than Josh Reynolds. But it seemed like they kind of beat themselves a little bit in that game.
I would, if it was a Detroit, I'd probably say, I want to say the Eagles got a lot better. And that's like a semi wannabe rivalry that the Niners created on their own. But I think the Rams are a lot better than people are going to give them credit for. They have their offensive line is really dang good. I know they just lost Aaron Donald, but that's what a team wants, people to count them out with an elite quarterback. I mean, I guess he would be the closest to being elite in the NFC.
Yeah, I would agree.
Good weapons. So I think those are the only two teams, I think the only two to three teams that give the Niners an actual run for their money and the biggest threat.
I feel like people are writing off the Rams because Aaron Donald retired, but I don't think he was super impactful the last couple years. I mean, I still think they're a contender. Also Green Bay, because they're the team that has the quarterback who might improve the most this offseason.
I would say that as well, but I think Green Bay, the only issue is their coach. Like their coaches, he gets too scared for the moment against the Niners.
And I like
once you have
you know
a
kind of reminds me of you know he kind of reminds me of LaFleur. Kind of getting a little scared in the moment, kind of shrinking in the big moments.
Oh, was a guy that his dad coached in the NFL. His dad's last name was.
Yeah, I forget his name, but I think you know who I'm talking about.
I think I know what you're talking about.
They're like friends, too. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's wild.
Kind of weird how that happens.
So, yeah, it's kind of funny how two of the best teams in the NFC, the biggest questions about them is their coach. But I think the Packers are young. They just added Josh Jacobs. That's an upgrade over Aaron Jones, isn't it? Aaron Jones is good.
Aaron Jones is really good. I don't know why they got rid of him. They should have made sure they kept him. That would have been a great. I honestly thought they were going to be the biggest threat because of the Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs factor. But the fact they got rid of Aaron Jones and kept I don't know. It doesn't make sense for me. But again, if they're going to be very pass heavy, I don't think they have a good enough offensive line.
And like, what about Atlanta? A lot of people like that's like the trendy pick, Atlanta. I don't see it. Just because they got Raheem Morris and Kirk Cousins, like, I don't know about that.
I mean, Kirk's going to have to wear a couple more chains in order to beat the Niners, but I don't know about that one. But I mean, like, honestly, like, Atlanta has a good foundation. Like, they do. They have good weapons, a good running back, a good quarterback now. Their offensive line is really good. But defensively is where they're going to struggle. So Raheem Morris is going to have to be the best he possibly can to try to compete with some of these good offenses.
You didn't mention Dallas.
I don't. We're like, come on. Like, Dallas is what's funny about Dallas is like
they should trade Dak.
They should have, but they can't. They should do what's right and eat the cap space and get rid of Dak Prescott. Send him to a team that needs a quarterback. Because to Raiders. Be honest, he's not the answer.
He's not, and they know it. Let Trey Lance play. He might be your Jordan Love.
Hey, I mean, especially when you have a quarterback that's getting to train with Jeff Christensen for the last couple of years, working around Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, he may be something if someone actually gives him an opportunity.
Well, that'd be interesting. I'm trying to think of other teams in the NFC that could have been overlooked, or like a complete dark horse, a team that really very few people would take seriously that you think could make some noise and maybe make the playoffs. Arizona?
No.
Hard to say Minnesota. You don't even know who their quarterback is. Chicago?
Chicago could, but I don't see them doing that just because it's going to be a
rookie. Could they be like the Texans from last year?
They don't Chicago have the coaching
staff. Yeah,
they don't have the coaching staff. They suck.
That's their problem.
Yeah, I think the only three teams I see that are legit in the NFC is Detroit, the Rams, and the Niners. I think the Saints could get better. Derek Carr normally gets better in his second year in a system. But it's Derek Carr. He struggled last year. He struggled the last couple of years. So I don't know how that's going to work over there. So that's interesting.
Tell me, Marco, everything has to be in the form of a question like Jeopardy. What is the biggest weakness heading into the draft?
Man, everyone likes to go O-line. I don't think it's the O-line. Like, I truly don't. Like, when we look at the offensive line, it wasn't the issue that the Niners lost the Super Bowl. And I've been trying to say this for a good while. When I rewatched the Super Bowl, you could see the quarterback stepping into pressures often. Like, it's people want to like blame it on the offensive line, but when there's a pocket there, why don't you sit back in your pocket, hitch when you have to hitch? And yep, he was walking into pressures, walked into a couple of sacks. I don't think it's the offensive line. The offensive line isn't great. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, the O-line was great, but I think secondary. I think your corners are still the weakest link. I think you have Ambry Thomas, who sticks out like a sore thumb, even with Isaac Yiadom, the guy they just signed. He hasn't been good throughout his career, so I don't expect him to come in and solve that issue. Looking at safety, often injured. How does Hufanga come back? So if I had to say the biggest weakness right now for the 49ers, it's their secondary. I think the corner is a big hole, and then when you move Demo, it makes to outside. It puts a big hole in the nickel spot. You have two safeties that are pretty much the same safety. They're box safeties, if we're being 100% honest. So I don't know how the secondary is going to play out, but I think secondary is a bigger weakness than the offensive line right now.
Fair enough. I mean, those unblocked rushers in the Super Bowl, it wasn't necessarily the offensive line's fault. It was like six rushing against five. It was being outmanned or not picking up, not sliding the right direction or getting confused or whatever. It wasn't necessarily just getting beaten one-on-one. Secondary, I can see that. What about linebacker, though? I keep coming back to linebacker. They got one linebacker on this team. What do you feel about Devondre Campbell? And what do you think about Dre Greenlaw? What's a realistic expectation for him to come back? And what he'll be?
Devondre Campbell was a pretty bad signing. It was probably the worst signing I've seen in free agency because of the amount they paid him. They overpaid him because they lost Kendricks, whatever his name was. They overpaid Campbell. They start speaking highly of him, but then when you watch the 49ers play the Packers, they would literally circle Campbell and say, you know what? We're going to attack Campbell all game long. So to me, that didn't make sense. They attacked him in pass game, in the run game. Not a good linebacker. He's truly not a good linebacker. So you could say the linebacker is an issue, but I think Dre Greenlaw should be back by week five. I don't see the Niners holding him back that much longer. I mean, everyone's saying that he should be back week one based off of the new timeline of Achilles injuries. But I think the Niners put him on the PUP, let him sit out four games. Around that week five range is when you should start seeing him potentially be back. At the longest, he'll be back by midseason. I don't see the Niners being gone for like without him for too long.
Okay, my question now is, what can we expect him to be when he comes back? Because I know, science has improved and the procedure has gotten better, but I remember Navarro Bowman after an Achilles tear. It was bad. And I remember Sherman after an Achilles tear. He was not the same guy, although he did go to a Pro Bowl that year. What do you think for Greenlaw? I mean, the way I remember Bowman was he could get himself moving, but like putting on the brakes and changing direction was an issue after the Achilles tear.
Yeah, with Bowman, I felt bad for Bowman's issue because he looked like he was in like running in quicksand at times. Like he was not going anywhere when he first started coming back. And that was a big issue. And you have a great point because if Greenlaw isn't even 75 of what he was, he missed a lot of tackles. People don't like to talk. He missed a lot of tackles. And
he was limping around all last year.
And the thing is, what's kind of scary is they have no faith in any of their rookie linebackers they drafted last year. They don't have faith in Winters. They don't have faith in Graham. You're probably going to see them draft another linebacker at some point in this draft class because they have no faith in the guys they drafted. Same thing like tight end.
Telling kinda you, like, man. I wouldn't be surprised if they went linebacker in round one. Like, I don't know the prospects that well, but all I know is the Niners drafted Reuben Foster with the 31st pick once upon a time. So they're not against taking a weak side linebacker in round one at the end of it if they think he's really good.
And if we're being honest, if Cooper, Edgerton Cooper from Texas A&M or Peyton Wilson are there from NC State, they're probably the best player available if we're being honest at 31. So when you're looking at that, like either of those two guys, if and I said it yesterday, it's funny you bring this up because I mentioned it yesterday on a show with Rohan. We're doing a mock draft and we were both picking at 63 and Cooper was there for him and Wilson was there for me. And I was like, honestly, I don't see them being there at 63, but if one of them is there, I would 100% run to the podium and take one of those guys. I wouldn't mind doing it in the first round because it gives you that 1-2 punch at linebacker. And I personally would say, if one of those guys is your linebacker off the ball, Greenlaw doesn't get his job back.
Hot take. Kyle Shanahan cannot resist drafting a linebacker named Edgerton at pick 31. I couldn't. Hey. I couldn't. I'm sorry. Edgerton, you have a chance to have the edge at linebacker? Yes, I want that.
I mean, they should just straight up and go get Kool-Aid. That's probably the best name in the draft, Kool-Aid.
You really should just draft based on first names.
You might draft better. I mean, if you look at their draft class last year,
Aziz, great name. No, he's got to have a good name. And you know why Drake Jackson failed? Because he's named Drake.
Because he got cooked.
Okay, title of the show, who the Niners should trade. You got to pick one player on this team who doesn't get to be on this team next season. He's out. Trading him, business decision. Who's it going to be?
Sorry, Elijah Mitchell, but you're gone. You're gone. I mean, you don't do much for the team anyways. You're often injured. Kyle loves you because you did a few things good last year or the couple of years ago, whatever, your rookie year when you had a couple good yards. But I don't see how you could keep Elijah Mitchell on your roster when you have Jordan Mason as your number two. Might as well try to get a sixth rounder for Elijah Mitchell, whatever you can for him. I don't know if he has value, but I think that would be the one I would go to. I know everyone in the chat is probably going to say Debo, but the moving on Debo now or post June 1st doesn't make sense because if you're going to win now, you got to keep Debo on your roster. I think next year is when you make that decision on trading Debo. So I'm definitely going Elijah Mitchell. If I had to choose a second, oh man, I'm getting rid of Colton McKivitz just because I don't want him on the team to force the Niners to get a real offensive tackle. And I'm being serious, like go get a legit offensive tackle. Like that's what I would do. I would get rid of Elijah Mitchell so Jordan Mason could play. Everyone loves Jordan Mason. Get rid of Colton McKivitz because they need to go get a real offensive tackle. I'm sorry, not sorry on that second one.
You didn't say Brandon Ayuk.
No.
You did not say Brandon Ayuk. So explain to me why you think the Niners shouldn't trade Brandon Ayuk. I know it's not like I should be explaining why I think they should because that's like the far out take. Most people would agree with you. I just want to hear your reasoning because I think it's an interesting topic. Just in terms of business.
I mean,
we both think he's excellent. He's a great player.
You don't trade an elite receiver, right? He's right there on the borderline being elite receiver. You don't do that. Like, so when you have, there's levels to receivers. You have a true receiver one, that's Brandon Ayuk. And then you have like your dudes that are really good route runners, but they're not great players. And you just don't, I would pay Brandon Ayuk. If he wants $30 million, pay him the $30 million. Like, you've literally have built your roster upon guys who have created their name off of working hard, showing up to the facility every day. What's the difference between George Kittle growing from a fifth round pick to Brandon Ayuk going from the doghouse to being this elite player? Like, to me, that's where I don't, it doesn't make sense to me. And I see a lot of fans were like, well, if he doesn't want to be here, get rid of him. If you don't have Brandon Ayuk on the roster, guaranteed the Niners don't make the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl. And that's a guarantee. If you don't have a true number one, you're not making it far in the playoffs. Debo is not a number one. A lot of people like to say Debo's that guy. He is not that guy. I'm sorry. He's not that guy.
The reason I would trade Brandon Ayuk is because I think he's great, and I think he'd be a phenomenal investment for another team. But like, once you're giving a guy $27, $28 million a year, to me, like, you have to be committed to fully maximizing his output. That's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah,
business. And I don't think the Niners are fully committed to maximizing Ayuk's output. I don't think they are. If they all of a sudden evolve a little bit and give him more targets and improve the offensive line's pass protection, and maybe Brock Purdy gets a stronger arm, I'd be all in. But until those things happen, I'm like, you think he's going to be like 110 targets a year? It's just not going to get the opportunities to really make you feel like you're getting a good return on your investment. And in a couple years, you're going to be like, man, his cap hits what? For what? I don't know. I just think that, and it won't be his fault, but that's how I feel. I'd trade him now. I think his trade value is at his absolute zenith, considering he hasn't gotten paid yet. He's 26.
I mean, one thing I would say, like, as a counter argument to that, is Kyle Shanahan has shown to utilize an elite receiver. If we look at Julio Jones, even though he didn't have the touchdowns that everyone wanted him to have, Ayuk's different. He gets those touchdowns. So you could kind of see Kyle Shanahan utilize Julio Jones, and I think he should start utilizing Ayuk in that fashion. I know he's not that level of a receiver, but he has the potential to be that kind of guy. And when you look at the Niners, the reason why they lost is because Kyle Shanahan hasn't evolved as a play caller, as a head coach. True. Not going to Brandon Ayuk in that Super Bowl when they're playing man coverage and blitzing you, utilizing Debo.
That was strange.
It's super
that
weird.
That was like, so strange. Can you begin to explain it?
You can't. There's no way you can. Like, throughout the entire season, Debo struggled to beat man coverage, and it's obvious, and all film analytics, it shows Debo struggled to beat coverage, man coverage. Then you go to him and like
Kyle situation. Knows ball. I don't get it.
You know what? He's I think
too it smart. Might be, though? What
it might. I truly think Kyle went from the last Super Bowl where he went away from Debo Samuel, right? So thinking, you know what? I got to keep going to Debo Samuel to win this Super Bowl.
True.
I think that might have been it.
He's like one step behind, right? He's like stuck in the past. Last time. I'm not making that mistake again. It's like, dude, that was years ago.
I think that's what it was. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to feed you. And it's like, dude, at some point, you got to realize he's not beating man coverage. He's getting whooped on the line of scrimmage. Two hands, not just one hand by the corner. And it was just awful. True. And I think if you get rid of Brandon Ayuk, who beats man coverage for the Niners? Your next best receiver is Jennings.
Well, I guess the question would be, you trade him for probably a pick between 25 and 40, somewhere in there. And the question is, could you draft a wide receiver who could play X for the 49ers and get,
I mean, how fast
six is targets a game? Out? Six targets a game. Or could they just sign Tyler Boyd and have him run the dig routes from the X position as they develop someone else? Because I think that's kind of when they showed interest in Boyd, to me, that's Kyle making an admission of what his quarterback is. It's like, yeah, I mean, Brock's really good, right? Brock's really good. But if that's our quarterback, then are we really going to be going after wide receivers who stretch the field? Or are we going to be going after wide receivers who are solid?
And I think the thing is, that's a great point, because when you think about it, like, they did obviously express that interest in Tyler Boyd, but is it to try to get rid of Debo? Like, if you evolve as a head coach and you evolve as an offense, you're going to put more actual receivers on the field. The gadget stuff that Debo does, as much as people say it's not replaceable, it's replaceable. You're not going to get those breakaway 40-yard runs, but you're going to get those level of plays. Like, we saw Curtis Samuel do it at a decent level. So I don't think it's necessarily to get rid of Brandon Ayuk. I think he's trying to essentially take his offense and go a little bit more pass-centric.
I feel it. All right. Let's shout out to our sponsor, BetUS. BetUS is the number one online sportsbook in which they are currently offering 125% deposit match up to $2,500 on your first three deposits. That means if you put in $500, you'll have $1,250 to play with. BetUS has 24/7 customer service and 24-hour payouts. Click the top link in the description of this video to receive your bonus. We're also giving away $125 in free play. The first five people who DM me on Twitter their account to show me their account number on BetUS will receive $25 in free play. Now let's show you how it's done. This is BetUS. These are the odds to win Coach of the Year. Who do you think is going to win? Who's a good bet to win Coach of the Year in your opinion? Dan Quinn?
I'd probably say, I mean, like, we're looking at odds. I also don't want to go with the best one. Like, obviously, Jim Harbaugh might be the favorite to win it, but I don't think he's going to win it in his first year. I'm looking like at a guy like...
It always goes to someone who, like, was not on the radar early.
I would probably say...
Dan Quinn.
Sean McVay. Everyone's going to count him out like they have with... Since Aaron Donald's gone. He's going to put up a great season. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to go far. If not, Nick Sirianni's a good one, too.
Nick Sirianni from the depths. I love how Andy Reid has the worst odds. Everyone's like, he's the best coach. He's not going to win.
That's crazy.
Dennis Allen, hell no. Todd Bowles, no. John Harbaugh, no. Mike McCarthy, trash. Sean McDermott, not a fan. How do you feel about Sean McDermott?
I feel like they've kept him for way too many years.
Way too long.
Way too many years. Yeah. I hope, you know what I really hope they do? I really hope they keep making Josh Allen upset over there so he requests a trade and the Niners could do some craziness and give up 2 1s and Brock Purdy for Josh Allen.
I like that. I mean, I think Brock Purdy could definitely throw in Buffalo. It's not like they rains or snows, so they'd be fine. I'm putting my money on Dan Quinn. I don't care. First year coach, no one thinks he's going to do anything. Dan Quinn placing the bet for $250 potentially to win on BetUS.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
All right, Marco, I asked you who the 49ers to trade. Now tell me who the 49ers should extend, and Brandon Ayuk can't be your answer. Someone else. Goes without saying.
I'm gonna go with the quality control coach. Extend you. That's the first one they should do.
Thank you.
No, but in all seriousness, I think people look at, obviously, they look at, like, where can we create cap space, right? Like, oh, obviously, the obvious answer is Charvarius Ward to create cap space, which I think they will eventually extend them. But dudes, they 100% should go and extend now, earlier than next year. Guys like Denomino Lenore, guys like Aaron Banks, where they're only going to get more expensive as the years go on. Demo's going to get better. Banks is going to get better. Their price just goes up. So for me, I'm looking at them like, dude, do the early thing. Like, I know you like to wait until your guys are free agents or they're their last year and you want to be this team that waits so long. You're also paying a tax when you do that. Go out, get out ahead of it, extend those guys because you don't have to pay the luxury.
They get the concept, though, Marco, because you know who they extended this offseason? Cole McKivitz. Of all the people, they're like, you know what? We got to keep Colton. He can't be in a lame duck season. He's too important, but not Diamador Lenore or Aaron Banks. Can you explain to me why extending Colton McKivitz was higher on the priority list for the 49ers than those two players? I don't get that.
I feel like it's just because they're complacent and they feel like he could be solid at right tackle. Like, they're not looking for great tackle play. They're not looking to protect their franchise quarterback. They're looking to make him okay, like have okay around him. And I think that's
the biggest thing. So they have higher standards for their left guard spot than they do for their right tackle spot?
I think so.
I don't disagree. Because they want that left side to be strong, right? That's the point of attack on 95% of their run plays.
And I think if you had a legit right tackle or right side, you don't have to run to the left side 95% of the time and teams completely just take away your left side. Like, it's terrible.
Terrible. So, yeah, I mean, kind of a strange choice to extend Colton McKivitz instead of Diamador Lenore, who I feel like he's one of the better number two corners in the league. He can play outside. He can play inside. He can play zone. He can play man. He's a good tackler. I mean, he's not the biggest guy or the fastest guy, but he's a really good competitor. Why would you not lock him up?
Yeah, that's, to me, that's the one that I'm like, I don't understand. Was like, this corner is going to get a lot more expensive next year. He's going to hit open market. He's going to get offers that you probably can't pay. So if you do it now, you give him a good enough guaranteed money, he's going to be like, you know what? I'm not going to risk injury. I'm going to double up and get my bag. Another guy I'm question for you is, would you extend Hufanga?
See, I think I would. Coming off an Achilles tear, I think you could probably get an all-pro safety at a discount. I know, like, all-pro in quotes, maybe he didn't necessarily deserve that, but say what you want about Hufanga. I feel like he makes plays, and I feel like he was making plays his last year, too. He gets interceptions. I like him. I don't think he'd be that expensive. I mean, I wouldn't pay him all-pro money. But $4-5 million a year? You think you get him for $4-5 million a year?
No, I think he would rather bet on himself as that all-pro nod. You could go in.
But okay, then no. Sorry, I like him a lot. He's a good guy, but no. Not now. I'd need to see what he looks like after, coming off that torn ACL. I think the whole league would need to see that.
And I think for the Niners too, like, the biggest thing is they understand that next year's draft class is deep at safety. So the positions next year is safety, defensive tackle, and linebacker. Those are the spots where you could find someone to be a day one starter immediately. So, for example, how offensive tackle and receiver are this year, that's how those other three positions are next year. So it's like, I'll wait off and I'll hold off on you right now.
It's an interesting way to look at the draft, where it's strong, where it's deep. Pause. Where it's, you know, sorry, where what makes it unique, that particular draft. And it's like, you could have needs, but if that particular draft is epic at offensive tackle and wide receiver, do you really want to pass on that? You could argue the Niners could come away with one in round one and run in round two and just feel like they got some of the, like, they participated in the strength of the draft.
And I think when you look at the strength of the draft, like, you have, like, a better chance to hit on one of those guys because it's a deeper draft class in that spot. So you kind of want to potentially hit on that spot. So for me, if they go offensive tackle like this year, it makes sense. But I also understand, too, when you have a deep draft class, what happens is it pushes guys that are better at certain positions down the board. So, for example, if the Niners linebacker at 30, that best player got pushed down to you. So you could look at it two ways, go offensive tackle or go best player available at the time, and it could truly be a corner or a linebacker.
Right, considering there's so many wide receivers, tackles, and quarterbacks going high in this draft. If you wanted anything else, you could tell yourself, well, it's like a top 20 player that we got at 31 because 10 wide receivers went, or whatever the number is.
You know, a player I actually would not extend, because I know we're talking about extensions, I would not extend Charvarius Ward.
Me neither. He's a hell of a player, but he's a cornerback and he's 28.
Yep. That's where I'm at. He's going to be 29 during the season, I believe.
And he's had groin issues. He's had abdominal issues. Like, no. Nah. I wouldn't invest in wide receivers or cornerbacks beyond 30, honestly. Unless it's Jerry Rice or freaking Rod Woodson, Ronnie Lott. Yeah, so and probably at that point, they're moving to safety.
And that's the thing. I know a lot of people want to extend Charvarius Ward, but I've been looking at him like, okay, you're at 29. Why don't we just get younger at corner? Go draft a young corner.
Extend Lenore. Extend Lenore. He's 24.
So that's where I'm at. Like,
I have a hot take.
What's your hot take?
Lenore's not going to get extended. He's going to be on another team in a year. He's going to get priced out.
What corner was it that they released thinking they could get him back? He ended up going to the Seattle Seahawks.
DJ Reed.
How good of a corner is he right now?
He's a hell of a corner. He's with Sala, right?
Yeah, he's with Sala, and he's only 27 years old.
Yeah. Yep, that the Niners were just handing him to Salah proactively before they even knew that he'd be there. How can Kyle Shanahan grow this offseason? First of all, how can he do it? Second of all, what are the odds that he'll even try? But sorry, do the first one. We can get cynical later.
How can he improve? He should understand that it's a pass-happy league. You might want to go a little more pass with your offense. Your offense is explosive, but your offense can be even more explosive by putting Jennings on the field, getting rid of a fullback. Let Jennings be that kind of guy, and you're truly you could go that 11 personnel, you go 12 that 12 personnel, because the fullback doesn't really do much anymore. It truly does. It ain't disguising any no looks. No,
he goes in motion.
Like, it's not disguising anything.
It's not. And
so for me, it's truly you could go.
It's window dressing.
And you could do that with Jennings. He's a better blocker.
Seriously, honestly, I like that sort of a transition to 11 personnel. I mean, that's what the Texans are doing in Houston, right? They got Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins. Like, that's Bobby Slowick. He was with the Niners, but they're going to go with a different personnel grouping predominantly because they got the talent for it. Why wouldn't? Now, I know why Kyle wouldn't want to do it, because out of a one-back formation, there are fewer blocking combinations that you can execute. Fine. It's a passing league, man. You got to pass more. You'll be all right.
And when you do that, Jennings could be your blocker. Like, it's not like he's a 6'3" dude. He could block. Like, he's probably a better blocker, in my opinion, than Jennings. Now,
remember when the Rams put Skowronek at fullback? The Niners could do that with Jennings.
Yeah, it's pretty much essentially what you would be doing, using
why not?
Jennings in that Skowronek role as a blocker. But now you actually have a good route runner, a good receiver on the field to pair with Brandon Ayuk. So when you look at it, it allows you to do a lot more things, because you could truly use Debo as that gadget guy, not as a receiver.
Can we talk about Jennings for a second? Because his usage last year was bizarre. He had 19 catches in the regular season, and then he had like 5 in the Super Bowl. He needs to be used more. He's really important to this team.
And he's energy. One thing that you can only do is bring energy as a player on your own, and he brings natural energy. All it's going to do is elevate everyone else around him. Like, it's contagious. And I truly don't understand why he's not on the field. So I would go away from the fullback. I would go away from that 21 personnel. I would go 11 personnel. I would truly see what I got to do to upgrade my right side of the offensive line. I don't care what I have to do. If I have to trade a first rounder, what I got to do, I'm upgrading at right tackle.
Right, because you said you want to embrace passing a little bit more. You can't do that with half an offensive line.
You can't.
You can't. And that's my whole argument against signing, paying Brandon Ayuk. It's like, with that offensive line, if you get a right tackle, then absolutely. If you pass the ball, then absolutely.
So I think
to me, a team that's committed to passing is a team that can throw the ball 45, 50 times in a game and win. The Niners have never been that team, ever.
And one thing I would tell Kyle, too, is, hey, how do you evolve? Put 100% trust in your quarterback, even if you don't think he's the answer. Yeah. If you don't think Brock Purdy is that dude, still put 100% trust in him, because all it's going to allow you to do is give him confidence, throw the ball those 40 to 50 times, so when the playoffs do come, he has the opportunity that he didn't have in the regular season. For example, the Niners needed Brock to throw the ball a lot more in the Super Bowl and in the NFC Championship. He didn't have that many reps to truly do what he did, because Kyle doesn't give him that. So for me, if you allow Brock to be himself and be that gunslinger, yeah, you're going to get more interceptions. That's going to happen. But you truly get to see who Brock really is as a quarterback swinging that ball.
Before making him the highest paid player in the league. He's never thrown the ball 40 times in the game. Like, elite quarterbacks do that all the time. I mean, Mahomes threw the ball 46, 48 times in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's something you kind of have to do if you're making all the money. Sometimes.
Pretty much, because you put the ball in your best player's hand, and your best player is your elite quarterback. So I think I would tell Kyle, those are the three things I would tell him or he needs to do to evolve. Go more, a little more pass happy. It's a passing league. It's truly, that's what it is.
And you have a Pro Bowl quarterback for the first time since you've been here.
Exactly. So get a better right side of your offensive line, because now you don't have to run the ball to your left side. It doesn't take away half the field. 3, trust your quarterback fully. I don't think he truly trusts Brock Purdy, even though he says it out loud. His play calls and what he does in certain situations prove he doesn't trust Brock Purdy. And people could argue all they want. It's fine. Saying something is different than doing something. And then the likelihood of him doing it, any of these, 30%.
Oh, man. Sometimes I feel like Kyle does do stuff for self-reflection, and sometimes I feel like he can't look at himself in the mirror. So do you ever know people like that who cannot take criticize themselves, honestly assess where they're good and where they're weak? I mean, everyone has weaknesses, right? And as you get older, as an adult, part of growing up is focusing and being honest about your weaknesses so you can grow, improve, become a fully formed version of yourself. And I feel like Kyle is sort of stuck, man. I think he's been the same guy for a long time, which is part of his, I don't want to get into his psychology, but it's part of the reason why he is who he is.
Well, if you go back and you remember that podcast that came out with him, Sean McVay, LaFleur, during that podcast, like that episode, you could hear him being super egoistic. Like, well, I'm always right, pretty much. Like, I don't care. It's like, all right, well, guess what? You're not always right because you've lost two Super Bowls now. Like, evaluate yourself as a head coach, as a play caller, and truly understand it's okay to hire an offensive coordinator who doesn't call the plays.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Mick Lombardi's not the answer. Sorry.
Oh,
I played Little League with Mick Lombardi.
And the only reason why he hired Mick Lombardi is because him and his dad, like the Shanahan and the Lombardis, are cool with each other. And it's the only reason why he hired him.
Michael Lombardi worked for Mike Shanahan in Denver for 1 year. They know each other.
The league's all about who owes who favors and who they know. That's what it's about.
Also, I feel like anytime Kyle needs to add someone to his staff, he goes to his dad like, "Dad, I need a quarterback coach. You know anyone? Call Brian Greasy, see what he's doing."
Man.
His dad is active. Active.
His dad is essentially more the GM than John Lynch is the GM.
That's crazy. For someone, like, to have a shadow GM, I can't think of someone who has more influence on a team that isn't employed by the team in the NFL than Mike Shanahan with the Niners.
Oh, absolutely. And it's amazing. At some point, you got to tell your dad, "Hey, sit back and just relax." Like, and it sucks because it's your dad.
He's at training camp. It just seems like his dad wants all the influence, but none of the accountability. Like, you can't fire me. I'm not in charge. You don't even talk about me. But here are my suggestions for who you should sign, draft, start. It's like, okay, thanks, Dad. Thanks.
Didn't he say that his dad has an office in San Francisco?
That's what I heard. The building? But I don't know. I would imagine, all due respect, Kyle could probably swing that. Okay, final topic. Was trading Trey Lance a mistake? I've been talking about this a little bit this week with my guests. I'd like to get your take on this one. Last year, it seemed like it was like no big deal. Like, Brock Purdy, they had Sam Darnold. Now they got Josh Dobbs. What do you think?
Yes, but no. So I'm going to go and answer with the no on the no side first. Okay. So the no side is no, because you went all in on Brock Purdy, which was the right thing at the time.
Sure.
Like, you truly went all in. And if you're going to go all in on a quarterback, why have someone over his shoulder that could potentially sway the fan base or sway certain things if Brock Purdy had a bad game? So essentially, for example, the Cleveland Browns game, the Ravens game, you would have had fans calling for Trey Lance at that
Me
point.
Too. And I would have been calling for him.
I mean, everyone would have. It would have been the thing to do.
I was this close to calling for Sam Darnold. Didn't do it, but I was close. Actually, I did do it. No, I take it back. I did it. I wanted to see Sam Darnold start against the Bengals. I was like, can we see some one game, please? One.
Just one.
Just one.
Best throw over the quarterback, over the football.
I mean, I've
ever had.
Like, Brock was concussed the week before. I figured, you know, let's say he's hurt. Can we just see Darnold for one game? But in retrospect, I think we know what we would have seen. We would have saw Sam Darnold.
Yeah, we would have. It would have been bad. So, no, because you go all in on Trey Lance and you or on Brock Purdy, and you have Brock Purdy as a good quarterback, possibly your franchise quarterback. So I would say no, because you at least got lucky and you hit on Brock Purdy. So that's why I would say no. But the reason why I would say yes is because you never gave him the true opportunity to start. So it should have been Trey Lance's team from day one. But instead, Kyle Shanahan let his team and his Cabo click decide who played quarterback. And I think that was the biggest issue, is you never got to develop Trey Lance, because you knew going into drafting Trey Lance, you were drafting a developmental guy, someone who was going to need that full year to develop. The Niners didn't do much in that playoffs that year with Jimmy Garoppolo. So essentially, all right. So essentially, you got a phone call right now, but take a random. But essentially, you didn't give the opportunity to Trey Lance, and now he's over there training, and you're essentially paying him to still be on your roster the last few years. So for me, I'm looking at the Niners, and it's definitely one of those ones where it was a mistake to trade him because you never gave him the opportunity, and you went all in on him to start. But then they corrected their mistake by, you know what, let's truly go all in on Brock Purdy because we saw what we needed from him. And he's our guy. So I think you had to get rid of Trey Lance at that point. And they also got a lot more value than teams got for Justin Fields, Mac Jones, a first-round quarterback. So essentially, they did the right thing at the right time. But I just felt bad in the sense of they never truly gave him a real opportunity to start.
I just feel like they could have handled the noise. Like, that's your responsibility. I wasn't alive for it. You weren't alive for it. But once upon a time, the Niners had Joe Montana and Steve Young on the same team. And somehow they made it work. Now, I know there wasn't Twitter back then. But, I mean, my dad wrote for the Chronicle. He's freaking crazy. He's crazy. And people had things to say. And the 49ers were able to stay the course. Joe Montana's butt didn't fall off. Like, they worked it out. I just feel like they could have worked it out. You know, it's like, I know it's distraction, but we want to have the best quarterback room possible. And frankly, Trey Lance is better than Brandon Allen, and he's better than Josh Dobbs, and he could have been here. And if Brock gets hurt this year and misses time, and Trey Lance is starting for Dallas because they traded Dak, and he looks decent, I'm going to have something to say.
I think everyone would. Like, that would be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And that was one of those ones when they traded him to Dallas. It's like, if once they do move off of Dak, if Trey is that guy that the Niners thought he could be when they drafted him, the Niners are screwed because he's going to be whooping on them in the playoffs in a few years. So yeah. I think that would be a big issue. But I think just the thing is, like, the reason why they got rid of him, I think, again, Kyle's ego. If he had fans chanting, "We want Trey," I think that would have hurt his ego. I really do. Like, you know what? Am I making a mistake? Am I doing the right thing? And then he would have
eventually... Or like the fans have lost confidence in my judgment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they already did. I mean, he never evaluated Patrick Mahomes. So fans already lost the judgment right there. So
I love how he said that with such pride. Like, oh, I never watched him. Like, that's a secret.
What was worse was when John Lynch came to the podium and said, I actually got off the phone with Kyle Shanahan right after Patrick Mahomes' pro day. And I said, this guy's legit. He's the real deal. Like, wait, you just still decided not to scout him. Like, oh.
I love how John Lynch says something like that with a smile and like an aw shucks demeanor. And you think he's just like kind of telling you a story. But then you step back and you're like, wow, you really threw Kyle under the bus there, huh?
Oh, yeah. And he does it on purpose because he doesn't want to be that former player GM who never gets credit for anything they do. Everything's the wrong decision is blamed on him.
Right. And he doesn't want to be attached to not drafting Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's one of the worst things in the history of that you could do, not draft Mahomes. And the fact that Kyle, like, that's not way up on Kyle's legacy is incredible. And it shows the kind of sway that he and his father have over the media. Because I think every other coach that passed on Mahomes is fired. Every other one. Am I wrong?
Maybe
McDermott.
Pretty sure. Know. And the thing pretty is sure. That what's worse is that quarterback that you didn't scout has beat you two times in the Super Bowl, and you decided to not go truly into develop mode with the quarterback that you drafted when Andy Reid went full develop mode. He knew Patrick Mahomes needed to develop. Yeah. He let him develop that first year, went full all in on him that second year. Like, no, there's completely different things in terms of the talent-wise that Mahomes had. He had obviously that natural arm talent. But it's like they both had talent.
He needed a year to sort of learn NFL offenses. He came from the Big 12. He played at Texas Tech. He was in a spread offense. He needed to learn, I guess, NFL stuff. And Andy Reid taught it to him in a year. Kyle Shanahan couldn't be bothered. Why do you think Kyle didn't want Patrick Mahomes? I have theories. I think it was schematic. I don't think he likes quarterbacks from spread offenses. I don't think he sees them turn their back to the defense, doesn't see him do play action and says, you know what? I can't take a chance on a guy like this.
That's interesting because Brock, when you watch Brock's college tape, they ran a lot of spread. And I that's probably why he didn't have go him higher high. On his board.
Right. Yeah, as opposed to Beathard, who went in round three.
Yikes.
Round three.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But I do think there was like a yes and a no on Trey Lance. They did make a mistake by not going all in on him when they had the opportunity to in developing him. Obviously a much more talented player, not necessarily a better quarterback than Brock, but a more talented player than Brock Purdy when it comes to arm talent, size, and everything like that. But you had to move off of him and let him go.
What I think is so interesting about like Kyle's tree of coaches, Shanahan's tree of coaches, they're all around the league, but they're all kind of strapped with quarterbacks except for D'Amico. And right. The question, I wonder if you talk to Kyle and Saleh and McDaniel, do they feel that D'Amico just got lucky? Or did D'Amico pull the trigger on a quarterback that Kyle would have balked at? I'd like to know. Would Kyle have drafted C.J. Stroud number two, or would he looked at that S2 score and that Ohio State offense and been like, eh, not for me?
That's a great question. I think D'Amico went into the opportunity with, you know what, I need to get a quarterback. I need to get my guy. He fell in love with the right quarterback instead of not evaluating the quarterback. Year one, he went in year one. First thing at his podium says,
he could have done what Kyle did. He could have been like, you know what, I'm not going to take my quarterback this year. I'm going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
They made the right decision. He home run hit, and him and Stroud are probably going to be in the AFC Championship this year. Let's see where Kyle was because,
I feel like Saleh probably thinks, I don't know, probably thinks that D'Amico got lucky. Because like, look, I did the same thing. I had the second pick. I took a quarterback. I took the quarterback that everyone said I should take. And I mean, I think this, I don't know for sure, but probably Saleh thinks that it's really hard to draft for a young quarterback to succeed on either New York team. I would imagine that's part of it. That I think there's probably some envy looking at D'Amico like, man, you get to be in Houston. No one questions you down there.
Oh, you got a Texan fan in the chat. What's crazy is with the situation.
Tax-free state.
It's a little different because D'Amico did the right thing. He went and he got Bobby Slowick, who he felt was the right guy.
Yeah,
I felt like Robert Saleh took a little LaFleur because it was Kyle's guy.
Yeah.
Like, Bobby Slowick.
Also, he's great friends with LaFleur's older brother. I think that was the best man in his wedding.
I think that was the issue. Yeah. Again, who owes you favors and who do you know in the league? And I think that's what messed up D'Amico. No, not Robert Saleh.
Because Saleh's on his second OC right now and it's Hackett.
Ooh. And that's only Hackett because of Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Really, the OC is Rodgers.
Yeah.
God. Imagine being at Rodgers' mercy. He's so weird.
Oh, he's a Cal Berkeley guy. Come on now.
That's right. I went to UCLA. We're much less weird.
Like he's a Cal Berkeley guy. He's
like he went there for 2 years. Matthew Brown says, "What could you get for B.A. Hufanga and our first?" You only see trades like that in the NFL. But what do you think?
If you're given all that capital,
could you get in the top 10?
You maybe.
It's like what team would want that specific package?
Yeah, it would have to be very specific. Because who wants Hufanga coming off an injury?
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Interesting question.
And you got to pay.
You got to pay him too. He has two extensions you got to pay. Draft a linebacker. Let's see what Graham Winters can do.
I mean, I'm only saying draft a linebacker because the Niners have obviously told everyone what they feel about Graham and Winters. They went out and tried to sign not one, but two linebackers, eventually landed on Campbell. So they're telling you what they truly feel about these linebackers.
You asked Marco, he answered. Michael Alinas, I don't know how to say, Alinas, I'm sorry, Michael, says both wide receivers, one of them before the draft and the other later on, need to be traded. Draft the replacements. We have too many star players eating at cap. Where's $28 million a year coming for BA? Wow, I had a tough time reading that. I just think it's rich to spend all this money on wide receivers and eventually the quarterback when you don't pass that much. That's an evolution that you need to make.
That's why you'll get rid of Debo next year. Because your receiver room will be a lot cheaper. So it's not going to be as expensive of a receiver room right now. So when you extend BA, his number is going to be 28 per year. So that's going to be the number that's announced. But his first year, it's going to be around $4 million in cap hit. So you're not, it's not an expensive room year one, next kind of like this coming season. It's when the following seasons come and you got to get rid of Debo to make it a cheaper room.
True. All right. Those are all my questions for Marco. Marco, great stuff, man. Thank you very much for coming on today in the afternoon after work. Hey, long day.
Thanks for having me on, Grant. I always appreciate jumping on with you.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for watching. I'll be back tomorrow. See you guys.